carriers of blessing. Sometimes as Christians, we don't understand how much God loves us and what He has done for us. In Galatians 3, verse 29, it says, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abram's seeds and heirs according to the promise." It's such a powerful verse, referring to something so powerful in the Old that has become a reality, not just to a select few, but to everyone who is in Christ. And it speaks about the riches of God's heart towards us and His unfailing promises to never leave us nor to forsake us, but to always be with us and to bless us. And that in Christ we have become carriers of blessing. That we should no longer be afraid because we know who we are in Christ Jesus. And it refers to the promise. It refers to the fact that we are all heirs according to the promise. We are heirs. We are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. Speaking, of course, of the fact that through faith in Christ, we become part of a promise made to Abram. And that we're all partakers of that same promise. That through faith in Christ, we have become carriers of the blessing that was spoken over Abram is now spoken over us. And that what is given to him is given to us. Because we have chosen to put our faith and our trust in Christ. And therefore we have partaked with God's purpose for us. Now, if you read the scripture and it speaks about the fact that we are Abram's seeds and heirs according to the promise, have you ever wondered what this promise is? Well, it actually refers to the covenant that God made when He spoke to Abram. As a matter of fact, what God promised Abram, He promised over and over again. If you read the life of Abram, it started with the promise. It continued with the promise. It was later on sealed with a covenant, an oath, and then reaffirmed again and again. As a matter of fact, this promise continued not just through the life of Abram, but Isaac and Jacob throughout the generations. From one generation to the next generation, this blessing was passed on and still continues to this very day. It still continues in your life. If you would just remain in Him, you will remain in His blessing. And you will be carriers of blessing. The first time this promise was spoken to Abram is found in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is the promise Abram received. This is the promise that we are heirs to. This is the blessing that we all carry. This morning I want to share about two aspects of this covenant, this blessing, this promise. I want to speak about faith. And I want to speak about blessing. Now, this promise that God gave Abram is far more than just this. And we don't have enough time this morning to go in every aspect. But I just want to speak about these two aspects of this promise. It speaks about faith and it speaks about blessing. He says, "I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. And in you all the families of the world will be blessed." It's so powerful to see how this blessing multiplies. It says, not only am I going to bless you, but you will be a blessing. And not only will you become a blessing, you will bless those around you. It's so powerful to see that God says, I'm not just going to bless you, but you will become a blessing. And everybody around you will be blessed through you. You have become a carrier of blessing. It's something that we have received. It's something we become. And it is something we give. You are a conduit of God's blessing. You are like a jar, a clay jar filled with water that is not just for yourself, but it becomes a vessel of great blessing to others. as we take what we have received from God and we ourselves are full, we take it to those who are so desperately in need of the blessing of God. This promise was always based on faith. I love the way God speaks through faith. This promise that God gave Abram was received by faith. This whole promise stands on faith. This faith requires trust. Chris shared this morning about trust, so that others about trust. It's so interesting that biblical faith is trust. Biblical faith is not just mental assent. It is actually trust in God, in His character, in His Word, and that trust leads to action. That's biblical faith. It's not just understanding and accepting that God exists, even the devils do, and they fear. But biblical faith, saving faith, faith is something that we not just believe in our hearts, it's something that we trust in, it's someone we trust in, and that trust leads to action. And we see when God made this promise to Abram, it was very challenging because it was not just, "Yeah, thanks God, sure, I believe you." No, God said, "Listen here, Abram, I want you to leave your country. And I want you to leave your family. And I want you to follow me. I want you not just to believe in me, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me." And that trust will lead to an action that will inherit the promise of this blessing. God said, "I want you to get out of your country and away from your family." God was saying, "Abram, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me to a land," you must listen carefully, "to a land that I will show you." God did not give him the name of the country. He did not give him an address. He didn't give him GPS coordinates. He just said, "I want you to follow me to a land that I will show you." In other words, as you follow me, not knowing where I'm going, as you follow me, I will show you the land, I promise you. It was not just faith in God, it was trust in Him. Trust to the extent that he was willing to leave his own country and his own family to follow God wherever he leads. And in following him, he inherited the promise. You need a particular faith to do that. It's not just, "Yes, sure, God, thanks." It is a trust in him. It is a trust in him that leads us to action. I remember when God called me to leave my country and my family and my people. I was married 6 months. And it was literally overnight. I literally, within a prayer meeting, I had to decide to leave my country and my people to a foreign country, to a foreign people, with a language I struggled with. And within a matter of hours, I could go to my wife, my newlywed wife, and I could say, "My love, pack your bags. We're going to a country, a far-off country, to a foreign people, a country that God is leading us to." And I was not afraid. I didn't hesitate a moment because I trusted God. Amazing to see that if you have faith that trusts God, it will lead to action. It was interesting, as I followed him to this country and I settled there, my children was born there, and I established myself in a new home, when God spoke again to me, first to my wife, long before he spoke to me. And then he called us back to this country, the country that I've left behind, the country that I have, in a sense, said goodbye to and adopted a new country when my life and my family was settled and my children was born. God called me back to South Africa.
said, come follow me.
And again, I left everything and followed God because I trusted Him. And then when we were in South Africa, after 2 years in Stellenbosch, God says, come, follow me. I have something else for you. When I was established in Stellenbosch and I was leading a large church of 1,600 members, God says, come, follow me. I want to lead you somewhere else. And I trusted God and I left this home and this dream my wife had behind. And I followed Him to another country. A foreign country. The promised land. It turned out to be. But I trusted God. And it is so amazing to see that as you follow Him, the blessings follow you. I've been blessed ever since I've arrived. As a matter of fact, I've been blessed wherever I followed Christ. It was not always easy. It was not always easy to follow Him. When He first called me to go to the United Kingdom, I've never led a church before. Could hardly speak English. And yet God called me to establish a church. To feed His sheep. And to build His church. And it was not an easy decision. It was quite a big decision. But yet, it was made very quickly. Because all I needed was God's word. All I needed was to hear His voice. All I needed was His words. I was like Peter that was afraid in that storm. When Jesus spoke and says, do not be afraid, take courage, it is I. And Peter responded, if it's you, Lord, tell me to walk on water. Tell me to come to you. That's all I wanted to know. I said, Lord, if it's you, just speak to me. And God said, come. So I told my wife, let's go. It wasn't easy to leave the United Kingdom behind. It wasn't easy to leave my church. I was there for 7 years. I've planted 3 churches, pastored in all 3. It was family. It was the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves that fed 5,000. It was everything I ever dreamt of church to be. It was simple. It was loving. It was close. It was family. Then God called me to let it go. It's difficult to let it go. Church was growing. We had an equivalent of 2 million rand in the bank account. We didn't even save. It was just the extras. We were busy starting a church, not another school. We just planted the 3rd congregation and we're busy establishing another school. It was like everything my heart always wanted was established before my eyes, and then God said, come, I want you to let it go. It wasn't always easy. I think it wasn't easy for Abram to let go of his country and his family to a place he didn't know where he was going. But he trusted God. And his trust led to actions. And you know what? In those actions, God's blessings followed him. When we came back to South Africa in the first 2 years, we moved 6 times. Hey, we're moving again. This time I'm moving to my own house. And not as a foreigner or a stranger. It's amazing to see how God's blessings follow you when you are faithful to His voice. When you trust Him enough to let your own understanding behind. Your fears and your worries and your concerns, and you just trust Him. And I love so much, and I've shared it so many times, and I probably will, forgive me, but I love what David says about God being his shepherd. It's
a psalm we know so well, and the reason we know it so well is because it says so much.
The reason why it's so well known is because within it, it summarizes so much of our relationship with God when it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one I follow. I shall not want. Because he's a good God.
You know, wherever he leads you, there is rest, there is peace. And he speaks about this over and over again. I think I have it behind me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you shall anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's so powerful. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I follow him. He leads me. And even though he goes through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid because he's leading me through it. And I know he will lead me to where there's life. But notice what he's saying. As I am following him, goodness and mercy is following me. As you follow God, goodness and mercy will follow you. The key for the goodness and the mercy is to follow him. Because wherever he leads, there is life. And sometimes where he leads goes through difficult places. Sometimes it goes through that valley. But do not be afraid if he is leading you through it. Like the testimony we just heard. Don't be afraid. Trust him. Trust him. We would love to go to this place of a table prepared before our enemy where our cup runs over and our head is anointed without going through the valley of the shadow of death. But God has a way to lead us to it through difficult circumstances. Ever wondered why that is? Well, we'll get to that hopefully also. It's also no coincidence that Jesus calls us to follow him. To follow him as Lord. So many Christians don't want to follow. They just want the blessing. Can't have the blessing without following him. You got to follow him. God calls us out of this world into his kingdom. His kingdom doesn't make sense in this world, but he asks us to follow him. So Abram had faith to follow God. But it wasn't without a share of trouble. I mean, soon after he left his own country and people, he ended up in Egypt. Remember what happened there? The Pharaoh took his wife. He had a fair share of trouble there. God delivered him from it. And he took Lot with him, remember? He had a fair share of trouble with Lot. And then there was the four kings. They made war. Again, another king in which his brother-in-law lived. Kingdom, and they captured his brother-in-law, Lot, and he had a fair of trouble when he had to rescue his own family member. So interesting, after he overcame the four kings, he returned all the spoils to the king that was defeated. And when the king wanted to give him a share of what he, Abram, had taken back from the enemy out of gratitude, he said, no, I won't have any of it. Lest you would say you made me rich, let it be known God is the one that prospers me. But you know what is interesting? In between the two, after the victory, after he overcame the four kings, just before the king of Sodom arrived at his tent, on his way, he met another king, a high priest called Melchizedek. Word of God said it was Christ himself. And Abram gave a tenth of everything to acknowledge it is God who gave me the victory. soon after Christ left him, another king arrived and said, "Can I bless you?" And he said, "No. I will bless my God, because he's the one that increases me." And after that, so powerful, after he gave his tithe, rejected the offer of the world, God came and reaffirmed the promise. So interesting. Just after that, God came to when God saw his heart, he says, "But you trust me. I can see that your trust is in me and not in this world. Some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord because your trust is in me. I will reaffirm this promise to you." And God again made a promise to Abram, and he said, "You know what? I will increase you." And Abram questioned God. He said, "But God, I don't have a firstborn son. How can you increase me? How will I know? I trust you, God, but I do not see. How will I know?" So God did something amazing. I mean, this is God who cannot lie, who has already spoken twice the same promise. And for the sake of Abram, for the sake of his faith, God said to Abram, "I will make an oath to you. I will cut a covenant with you. Not that my word that I've spoken isn't sufficient, but for your sake, I will cut a covenant with you." Hebrews 6, verse 13, it says, "When God made his promise to Abram, since there was no greater one for him to swear by, he swore by himself." How powerful. In verse 17, it says, "Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath." How powerful is that? He says, "Okay, Abram, I'll show you. I will make a covenant with you." And in Genesis 15, so powerful. "Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit. And he said, Lord, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And then he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer and a three-year-old female goat and a three-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these things to him and cut them in two down in the middle and placed them each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And then God made this covenant. He said, okay, I want you to do the following." And again, Abram was obedient to the word of God, and he did exactly what God commanded. And he brought the animals and he cut it in two, and that was the symbol of a covenant in the Old Testament, and if we have enough time, we can go into that. And as God was about to perform this covenant, cutting a covenant in his own name because there's nothing greater to swear by himself. In the moment of this covenant being taken place, so interesting, in the middle of the story, this divine moment, this awe-inspired moment in the history of humanity where God makes a covenant with man, here comes the vultures. I mean, Abram is busy preparing a covenant and here comes the vultures. Chase away the vultures. He had to chase them away. You know what? The devil will always come to steal what God has promised in your life. The way he steals it is doubt and fear and lies. He'll always come in when God has promised something. The devil will send his lies and his schemes to rob us from it. Not that he can do anything to what God has promised, but he can do something in our faith in it. So Abram had to chase away the vultures. You know, for some of us, God has promised us. And when I say God has promised, I'm speaking about the Word of God. what is promised. But be aware that the vultures will come and try and sow doubt and fear and lie to us about the promises of God. It is our responsibility to chase them away. God did not chase away the vultures. Abram had to chase it away because it was his promise that he had to fight for. It is our responsibility to deal with the vultures. So God cut covenant for Abram's sake to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. And so Abram and his descendants become carriers of a divine blessing. And that is so powerful. God says, listen, I will bless you and you will become a blessing and everybody in the world will be blessed through you. And they became carriers of a blessing. Wherever Abram went, the blessing followed him. But it didn't end in his life. It was passed on. It was passed on to Isaac, who became a blessing. And everywhere he went, the blessing followed. And then it got passed on from Isaac to Jacob. And from that time on, you know what? They referred to God as the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that blessed Abram, that blessed Isaac, that blessed Jacob. It was like transferred from one generation to the next. The conduit continued. And every time a generation ended, the father would call the sons and he would lay hands on them and bless them. He would bless them. You know, this morning we blessed a couple that blessed us. There's power in that. There's power in that. There's power in you blessing others. Because through faith in Christ, you have become partakers of Abram's promise. You've become an heir. You have inherited the same blessing. And you have become a conduit, a carrier of blessing. And whoever blesses you will be blessed, but whoever you bless will be blessed. Because you have become a carrier. I want to encourage you as you go through your life, wherever you go, speak a blessing. One thing I learned when I was praying for the nation many moons ago, 7 times we did a Jericho march around this country, speaking life, the late 90s, early 2000s. And God really laid on my heart to speak life, because there's so many deaths. You know, we know the scripture that says life and death is in the power of the tongue. But we are the conduits of blessing. You know, the scripture that says, you know what? That we are the light of the world. But if the darkness, but the light in you is darkness, how dark is this world? Have you ever read that before? It doesn't really make sense, does it? But it does make perfectly sense if you understand that you're the conduit of light. You're the conduit of blessing. And you're the one that's meant to portray it everywhere, to share it everywhere. Everywhere you go, speak life. Don't speak death over this country. You know how many Christians speak death? There's enough unbelievers that speaks death over the country. There's enough Satanists that speak death over the country. Why must the sons of God, the carriers of blessing, the carriers of light, do the same? What do you think are you going to reap? If you constantly speak death, God says, you've got the keys of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is in your hand. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever. So if you want to curse this country, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be cursed. We should start speaking life. Because we've been given the seeds of life. Because you're a carrier of blessing. So speak life. So Abram and Isaac and Jacob, from one generation to another, became carriers of blessing. The entire nation became a carrier of blessing. By the time they got to the promised land, and this is so amazing, by the time they got to the promised land, the people in Canaan was so afraid of the Israelites, not just because of the victories they had in the desert, but because they could see God's blessings on them. They were afraid because they could see they were carriers of blessing. They knew they didn't have a chance. Because they could see there's something different about these people. These people that follow God. I mean, God leads them by a pillar of cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. And they're following Him. They were afraid because they knew God was with them. They could see God's blessing upon them. They could see it, how God fed them in the desert. Even though they were disobedient for 40 years, God supernaturally fed them. By the time they crossed the Jordan, they still had the same clothes on they had for 40 years. You must go read that. It's in the Bible. It's a great book. Not even their sandals and their clothes wore. I mean, I have to change my jeans every year. You know how irritating that is. I don't like shopping, man. Especially for clothing. Because I feel like a guinea pig. My wife takes me to the shop with all these different jeans. Okay, long ones, short ones, skinny, fat, bell bottoms, skinny bottoms. And then she picks a whole lot of them. And then she takes me to this little cubicle. And then I have to take the one off, parade, take them off. It's like a guinea pig. No, it doesn't look nice. No, you look too fat, you look too skinny. You know, I don't want to hear that. Just give me a jean, man, for crying out loud. I just want to keep this jeans. But apparently it's already weathering. So I'm fearing that. But then after 40 years, they came with the same jeans. And the Canaanites were afraid. Because God was with them. Galatians 3 verse 29 says, if you belong to Christ, you are Abram's seed. And heirs according to the promise. Through faith, we have all become carriers. And it doesn't matter whether you sit in the desert or go through the valley of the shadow of death or are homeless and on the run like David. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You still are an heir according to the promise. And whether you're homeless and on the run like David, David said this in Psalm 119. He says, my comfort in my suffering is this. Your promises preserves my life. Your promises. Doesn't matter my circumstances, your promises. Your promises. They preserve my life. They will come true. Each and every one of them. God's promises will come to pass. It doesn't matter whether you sit in the desert or go through the valley of the shadow of death or are homeless on the run. God's promises are true. And if you follow Him, He will follow you. We don't need to fear when the vine dries and your brook dries up. We don't need to fear when circumstances is against us because God is for us. That's Romans 8. I read it last time. Who can be against us if God is for us? His promises will come to pass if we remain faithful. We don't need to worry about how God's promises will be fulfilled. All we need to do is follow Him. You don't need to be concerned about how He's going to do it. All you need to be concerned about is following Him. Just make sure you're following. And if there's vultures, chase them away. Because vultures will come. It will speak lies and fear and schemes of the devil to distract us from putting our faith and trust in God and putting our faith and trust in man. And in this world, in the riches of this world, in its possessions in this world, so that we can find our security in something else. So that we can be distracted and start following someone else. Don't allow the devil to do that. When the vultures come, chase it away. Remain in your faith. Remain in your trust in Him. Keep on trusting Him. Keep on following Him. It is through faith and following Him wholeheartedly that every promise will be established in your life. That is the fine print. Follow Him. Follow me. Here in Numbers 32, we read of this great nation and the promises that was given to this nation from generation to generation that you will enter into the promised land. You will enter in. This is the promise I give to you. By an oath, I made it to your father, to their father's father, and to their father's father. This has come down from one generation to the next generation. This is your inheritance. But then they send out the spies, remember? They finally got to the promised land, and then they send out the spies, and the vultures came. Chase it away. So in Numbers 32, the Lord's anger arose that day and He swore His oath. Another oath. Because they have not followed me wholeheartedly. Not one of the 20 men, not one of the men 20 years old or more who come out of Egypt will see the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb and Joshua. For they followed me wholeheartedly. You see that? All you need to worry about is following God. Don't worry about how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it. You just follow him. And when the vultures comes, you chase them away. And as you follow him, those promises, those blessings, he will follow you. Just chase away the vultures. The spies looked at the circumstances and they put faith in that and not in God. But you know what? Caleb and Joshua were different. Even though they were threatened by being stoned to death, they were not afraid because they trusted God. You know, they said, you know what? God has promised this to us. And He has led us thus far. How shall He not give it to us? They trusted Him. They trusted Him to the point of death. They trusted Him in the faith of being stoned. And God intervened. He said, because you follow me wholeheartedly, you will enter. All you need to do is trust Him. Follow Him. Only those who continue to believe, to trust in God, receive the promise. Hebrews 10 verse 36 therefore says, you need to persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. How powerful is that? I want to encourage you, if you're going through a storm, if you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, if you're in the desert, if you're on the run, homeless, if your vineyard has died and your brook has dried up, put your faith, your trust in God. Persevere. Chase away the vultures and follow Him. Because what He has promised will come to pass. It will come to pass. Just keep on following Him. That's why Jesus said, do not worry about life, about what you will eat or drink, but follow me. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that the Gentiles seek after, your Father knows that you need them, will be added to you also. Just follow me. Just follow me. That's why Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those who come to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's a good God. But you've got to follow Him. You've got to follow Him. Chase away. Chase away the vultures. Then Corinthians says something powerful because God made another covenant with us. He sent His own Son. Send His own Son. And 2 Corinthians says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us through the glory of God. This is so powerful. I want to read this again. For no matter how many promises God has made, no matter how many He's made, it is yes in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we can boldly say Amen on everyone. Amen is, I agree, it is done, it is so. Because if you are in Christ, all these promises are yours. You just need to follow Him. Just remain in Him. Just remain in Him. Chase away the vultures. And remain in Him. No matter what your circumstances, no matter how uncertain your future, you are carriers of a divine blessing. You are heirs according to the promise. So deal with the devil, his lies, deal with the vultures. But understand this. Our faith will be tested. Our faith will be tested. Faith is precious to God. Faith is the seal of every promise. It is precious to God. Every promise requires faith, that requires trust, that will lead to action. But every faith will be tested. God made this great promise to Abram. He said, as a matter of fact, I'll make an oath that your descendants will be as many as the sand of the sea and the stars in heaven, and it will be born in your family. Yes, Abram had a speed wobble. Yes, there was time when the vultures came and he didn't chase it away. And Ishmael was born. And to this very day, the nation is still bearing the consequences. But God did not give up on him. He came back to him. He said, Abram, let me speak to you again about my promise. You will have a son. He visited him personally. Remember the three men? Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Reaffirming the promise. You will have a son. Then Abram believed. And Sarah conceived. But then his faith, his trust, that leads to action, was tested. One day, God spoke to Abram. He said, Abram, I want you to take your son, the promise, the fulfillment of the promise, the fruit of your faith, your trust in me. I want you to take that son, and I want you to take it up a mountain and sacrifice it. Abram's faith is tested. That must have been so difficult. When his servant asked him, Lord, I see you and your son is going up to the mountain and you've got the wood, you've got the fire starter, you've got everything, but where's the offering? Abram's faith was tested. He said, the Lord will provide. Took his son, his only son, the fulfillment of the promise, on an altar and at the point of driving the knife through his heart. And God spoke to him, said, stop. Now I know that you love me. Because you were willing to give your son, your only son. Stop. And then he reaffirmed. You go read it. He reaffirmed this blessing. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you abundantly. I'm going to bless you so much you won't be able to count it. Because you have faith. Hebrews, later on, we saw in Hebrews, when it speaks about the great heroes of faith, it gives us insight. It says, Abram went up that mountain knowing that God is going to provide. Even if it means he has to resurrect his son, God is going to provide because he promised. Because he promised. Your faith will be tested. Our faith never gets tested in prosperity. It always gets tested in adversity. I've shared many times about this. But it is in the difficult times that our faith gets tested. Not in the good times. But when you go through the difficult times, chase away the vultures. And keep on following. It's like somebody said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Somebody once said, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Keep following. Because he's going to lead you to the other side. Your faith will be tested. My faith will be tested. But in those moments of testing, chase away the vultures and keep on following. That's why James writes about this faith, this trust in God that Chris spoke about. This being fully persuaded that Mavis spoke about. Fully persuaded of what God has promised. Let your faith endure in the times of trouble. James 1 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow.
So let it grow. For when your endurance has fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing.
How powerful is that? You are a carrier of blessing. God has made an oath. And through faith in Christ, you are a partaker of that promise. God is faithful to perform every word in Christ Jesus. You keep on following Him. And those promises will become amen in your life every single time. Like Abram and David kept on following Jesus wholeheartedly, no matter what the circumstances, all the promises are yes in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that You've come to give us life through Your Son. And that in Christ, every promise that You have made is fulfilled. Every promise will be yes and amen. Thank You, Father, that in Christ there's not just life, but life abundantly, overflowing. That we have put our trust in You that cannot lie. And You say that whoever trusts in You will not be put to shame. Lord, so this morning I want to pray for each and every person's faith in this place, that we will put our trust in You. Even as You lead us, that the Word came this morning, into a new season, into a different way, into something we're not used to, something we do not know, that we will put our trust in You and that we will let go. Let go of the things that holds us back. But let us stretch forth our arms wide as we run and jump into Your arms, knowing that You love us. We do not need to be afraid. You are not going to let us fall, because You love us. So Father, this morning, as an encouragement, I want to speak to those who are going through storms and uncertainties, to chase away the vultures, the lies and the schemes of the devil to rob us from what You have promised. God, I want to pray for endurance. God, I want to pray for endurance, that our faith will remain. I want to pray for those who are going in a new season of the unfamiliar, to let go of the things that keeps us back to change. That we are willing to go into a new route, a new living way. That we will forsake the old roads and its rut and trust You for the new. For some of us, God, You have something completely different. A new season that is better than the previous. Lord, give us the faith and the trust in You to just to let go. Lord, so I want to pray for those who are here this morning that are going through this difficult time. If that is you, I just want to stretch out Your hand. Just say, God, here I am, Lord. I want to put my trust in You.